Well, we're looking again today with lining up with God's Word to receive healing. We've been on this subject now. We've had 8 sessions dealing with really the first foundational things that we were looking at, and really our opening foundation. We had looked in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, has been really the a foundational scripture that we started with, that we had read in the beginning from Hebrews 11 and verse 6, which says, "But without faith it's impossible to please Him, for he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them who diligently seek Him." And in that opening scripture, really where we've spent most of our time focusing on is the areas the person who comes to God must believe that He is. And we talked about the fact that it's not talking about God existing. I've heard many people say that. I've read it in Christian books. Well, who would ever come to God if he didn't believe He exists? I mean, that's totally absurd. Why would a person come to God and don't believe God exists? I mean, that would be the dumbest thing in the world. He couldn't be talking about that. It's the subject is talking about faith, and if you read Hebrews 11, it's about people who believe God. And what it really means, it doesn't mean God exists, it means God is what you're believing Him for. In other words, what you believe God for, you must believe that God is that to you, whatever it might be. You know, the Bible speaks in the book of Romans, talks a lot about, you know, Abraham and Abraham's faith. And Abraham had to believe that God, being that God is, that God's promise to him for a child through Sarah, God was going to be able to perform that and do it, that God would do that. If he didn't believe that, that God was able to accomplish that, and that's what God was going to be to him, he could not have stood in faith. There would have been no faith involved in it. And so we were laying that foundation, and we laid the foundation, and we went through that up to last week. It's just talking. We dealt all this time with the fact is you must believe that God, on the subject of healing or whatever it is you're looking God for, we're dealing with healing, but you must believe that it's God's will for you to be healed, and it's God's will really for everybody to be well. You have to believe that, or you don't have a foundational basis to believe God. Many people come along and say, well, if it's His will, well, that means you'd have to find out His will to be in faith. You know, is to pray and ask God. People say, well, if it be thy will, well, why are you asking Him to be thy will? If you don't know it's His will, you can't ask by faith anyhow, so it didn't do any good to pray. So you have to know it's His will. Faith is always where the will of God's known. And so we found that in this scripture. And today we're going to look on, we want to go on, but really using the same foundation, because it's said in that scripture that it's impossible, without faith it's impossible to please God. So there's two areas that faith must lie in the fact that God is, or God is whatever I need, that He is that, I'm convinced of that He, what I need, He is to me. So whatever it is I'm believing for. And the other says impossible to please God without faith. So he who comes to God must believe that He is, or He is, and we're dealing with healing. So our healer. And that the next thing is that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So a person must believe that God is a rewarder. So, and really, in a sense, a rewarder, we could just use the term that the person must believe that God's the giver. In other words, He's going to give us, if He's going to reward me, in other words, He's going to give me whatever it is that I believe that He is. If I believe He is a healer, then He would give that to me. So you gotta believe that God is a giver. One translation says this, and believe that He cares enough to respond to those who come to Him. He cares enough to respond. In other words, God responding to the person who has come to Him, believing that He is, and that God is going to give it to him. So when we approach God, we must believe that He is, that it is His will for us to be well, and that He cares enough to respond to those who come to Him. You gotta believe that. You can't believe it in any other way. Now, I want to look at scripture because of dealing with this area, familiar in Mark of the 11:24, because Jesus talked about prayer and praying. In other words, and so we have to really line up with this scripture because we're dealing with this area. If God, we have to believe that it's God's will for us to be well. And also that God is a giver. In other words, He will give to us what we are asking for. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So in Mark 11:24, it says this, "Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you'll have them." So, now understand, Jesus said this. We talk about Jesus being the final authority. When we deal with the area of faith, really, right here is what the prayer of faith is. This is the prayer of faith. When people talk about praying in faith, your prayer must be in line with the principle of Mark 11:24. And Mark 11:24 says, "Whatever thing you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them." Believe that you receive them. When do you believe you receive them? At the time that you pray. So, we want to ask this question. He says, so how could we believe that we receive if it wasn't God's will to give it to us? How could we believe it? See, if this is how the prayer of faith works, then how could we possibly believe that we receive something if we don't know it's God's will to give it to us? It's an impossibility to do Mark 11:24. It's impossible. It can't be done. It's totally impossible. And see, many people, that's why they go along, they pray for something and they say, if it's your will. Well, I'm sorry, you're not praying the prayer of faith. You're not doing what Jesus said you must do. How this prayer works. Jesus defined clearly how you can get your prayer answered every time. Every time. Every time. Now understand this. This is not praying for somebody else. This is you praying for you. You just can't override and go get everything you want for everybody else. People are always trying to do that. We're talking about us praying, I must believe. That's why if you were the only one that had to believe it, then I would need to go teach you guys a thing. I could just believe God, you just tell me what you want, and I'll get it for you. Well, you think that's going to work? Why would we teach people the Bible if nobody had to have it? I could just one person could believe God for everything. If one person could possibly do that, then Jesus Christ was a fraud. Because He told people they would have something according to their faith. He also went down to Nazareth and could do no mighty work because of their unbelief. We teach people the Bible so they can believe. Because we can't give people everything they want. We can't do that. You can't believe God. There's people out here that if they don't get in line with things, it's not going to work. You know, there's different times along. I prayed the Lord praying about a certain person having into certain problems. I've had the Lord specifically tell me on numbers of times, say to me, you can't help them in this thing. And I'd say, well, why? Well, they know what to do and they won't do it. They know how to respond, but they keep just doing whatever they're doing. They won't listen. So He said, you can't do it for them. So see, people have to respond. People have to walk in the light that they have. You know, sometimes a person may not know everything and you can get in with faith with them and help them in the areas that they don't understand. But if they'll walk in the light, but if people have light in an area, don't walk in it or they won't listen to things. Jesus told Kenneth Hagin this and told him concerning about counseling people. He said, don't counsel people outside your own sheepfold. In other words, he was talking about with Rhema. Rhema, for a while, some years ago, a long time ago, they would take phone calls to people in counsel. The Lord told them to stop it. He told them that he said, you don't counsel people outside your sheepfold. In other words, where people go, that's where they go to church or wherever, that's they need to get their counseling. You know how many times I've had people who say that, oh, they're spirit-filled and stuff. They go to non-spirit-filled churches. They'll give me a call when they want counseling on something, and I'll say, well, did you talk to your pastor? Well, no, he don't understand. And the first thing is I'd tell him, yeah, I don't understand either. I don't understand why you'd go to a church and you don't believe in your pastor, and you don't believe, you know you ain't supposed to be there. They don't believe like you do. You can't get help from them. I said, if you're going to go there, don't bother calling me. That's where you go. Say, you ain't putting money in their offering plate and come over and eat at our church. Forget it. God ain't going to allow it, and I won't either, because God told me to don't do that, people. You don't do that. And I tell people, you go to your own pastor. You live with your problem. And this is what the Lord said. The Lord told Kenneth Hagin this, to tell people this specifically. If they say, well, I don't go to a church, you tell them, this is what Jesus told them to tell them. Tell them this, that is your problem. That's why you're having your troubles you're doing. That's why. A lot of people don't realize this. Not going to church is why a lot of people have their troubles. And they can't get rid of them. They'll never get rid of them till they decide they're going to start sitting under the authority and start listening to somebody and listen to some teaching and listen to things to get in line. That Jesus Christ told Kenneth Hagin that specifically. When anybody calls you and wants counseling and they don't go to church, you tell them that's their problem. Now, if Jesus said that, that's the end of the line for me. I ain't gonna sit and go through no other stuff. So people need to know that. You know, a lot of people don't. You know, they go out here and do their own thing. So it's important we get in line. We have to get in line with God's Word. So here we have, how can a person possibly believe the Word of God? How could they, if they don't believe that God wants them well, how could they possibly pray this prayer? They can't do it. They can't. They have to come in line with the principles of God's Word. Also, how could we believe that we receive if we do not believe that God gives it when I ask? When God don't give it, how could I believe I receive something if God does not give it when I ask? See, you couldn't do that. It would be an impossible thing to do. You can't do it. You can't. If you don't believe he does, that doesn't line up with Mark 11:24. It doesn't line up with that. And that's why you have to make sure, that's why we're teaching this. You've got to line up with God's Word. If you're going to receive something, you've got to line up. There's principles that follow. I mean, think about this. If a guy went out here in some company and says, we're going to build an airplane. But we ain't going to follow none of the laws of lift or any of the laws concerning, the aerodynamics or nothing. We're not going to do any of that. None of the laws concerning propulsion or anything. I tell you what, we're just going to go out here and, I have some good ideas I think I'm going to do. Well, I'm going to tell you, I don't think you'd want to get on the aircraft. I don't think you'd want to be the test pilot. What might happen? Well, they know that there's laws and rules and principles that must be followed to do that. I mean, you have to. There's things that you must understand. If you're not, they do build airplanes today that really aerodynamically should not fly, but it isn't if you take general laws and rules. But they put things in them like these electronic gyros and all this kind of stuff. You're using other types of laws that they use. You have to understand how laws work that they use. Like a lot of these jet aircraft that the military uses, or a lot of their fighters, actually should not fly. If they didn't have, because to build that plane that a human could actually fly, would fly at what they call by the seat of their pants, they could never keep it in the air. That's why they have these computers on board that are making millions of decisions at a time of correction. That's what keeps those planes in flight. That's what makes them work. But see, they're using different laws and different things to do, but they have to know how all that works. To make it do that, they don't. Some guy just don't say, I'm going to make a wingless plane. It'll just go out here and just do. I'm just going to go do this thing. Well, lots of luck, and you better know something. and it's the same way. It's no different. God's kingdom. There are spiritual laws that must be come in line with. And the spiritual law we're looking at here, we got to believe. One of the things it is Jesus said concerning prayer, at the time that I ask in prayer, at the time that I ask, I must believe that I receive. At that time. I don't believe I receive when I get to see it. If you're waiting to see it, that is not faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the evidence of things that are not seen. That's what faith is. You can know this. If you're only believing when you see it, you know this without a shadow of a doubt. You are not in faith. You're not in faith. That's a given. Sometimes, and I've over the years, if people come and ask me about, you know, faith and ask me about, I don't understand this, I sit and marvel sometimes at things that they say. And they talk about believing God, yet out of their mouth they're constantly speaking, they ain't believing God nothing. They have no concept of what faith even is. Some of them have sat for years listening to faith teaching and still don't get it. Why? Because they're dominated by their seeing. They meditate on their seeing. They're always looking at the seeing side. They're always walking on their feelings. They're always doing stuff from the natural side. They never develop out of the inner man. They never develop and get over in that area. And you must. Faith is the area where we believe we receive at the time I pray. In other words, that implies if I'm believing I'm receiving at the time I pray, that implies the fact that something is given to me at the time that I ask for it. Something is given to me. Yeah, but I didn't feel anything. See, that's what people say. Well, I didn't feel nothing. It didn't say I'm supposed to feel something when I pray. It doesn't say that. The spirit realm doesn't operate that way. The spirit realm doesn't operate in the areas of feeling. That's not what makes things work in the spirit realm. This is why many people don't understand the areas of healing, because divine healing is not feeling. And people don't understand that. People are tied on the idea of feeling better, so they don't believe anything unless they feel better. The feeling side is what dominates and rules. So they never get to feel better because they never believe. They don't know how to operate in the realm of the spirit to change things about the way that they feel. They want to change. They're going to believe it worked for them if they feel something. That's when they want to believe it. But we have to do, when we pray, it implies that the time that I pray, I believe that God has given me something. So if God said He wants us to be well, then we must be assured that He is ready to give it to us when we pray. We have to be assured of that. When you pray, you have to have total confidence. Now see, many people are in this category that operate in areas of faith. They believe it's God's will for them to be healed. There's many people who believe that. They say, well, God wants me to be well. And then their next question is, why ain't I well? Well, to that person, I can tell them. It's one thing is ministering to a person, find out where they're at. They may believe it's God's will for them to be healed. Now, some people don't know that. Some people believe that, you know, God, you know, sometimes He heals and sometimes He don't. Well, you've got to get that person convinced that it's God's will for them to be healed. But if a person believes it's God's will for them to be healed, well, then you need to take them to this step in this place. Because they don't believe when they ask for it, He gave it to them. They are waiting for Him to do something. They're waiting for Him. They're not believing that He gave it to them when He asked. But so we need to understand is how this works. Because it deals with, your faith in God deals, we could use the word trust, couldn't we? We could use the word trust when we talk about faith. In fact, many times that word is used as trust. You know, remember people talk about, I'm always amazed this. People talk about trusting someone, they don't even know the person. They'll say, well, we just ought to trust them. You can't trust somebody you don't know. They could be an absolutely honorable person and good. But if you don't know that, you couldn't put trust, could you? Now, so if we're going to have trust in God, then therefore it would be, how is trust developed? And so understand this, trust in its development. We need to understand it's just in the natural the same way. If I tell somebody that I'm going to do something for them to trust me and have trust in me, then they need to reasonably expect that when they ask me to do for them what I said I was going to do, that then I would do it, wouldn't they? If I wouldn't do it, where would you think they would be on the level of trust with me after that? See, so many people wonder why they'll say, well, so-and-so don't trust. Well, my wife don't trust me. Well, my word, you've been nothing but a liar. What on earth would you expect her? She ought to trust you. Well, my, you know, I've had people do that where a husband and wife have cheated on their mate, and they ask them to forgive them, and then they say, well, they don't trust me. Well, hold a trust built on performance. It's not built on forgiveness. God forgives you, but that don't mean he trusts you a lick. Trust is built upon performance. And they don't trust you? Well, it's reasonable. Wouldn't it be reasonable for somebody who hasn't been good on their word? Wouldn't it be reasonable not to trust the individual? You know, if you found a person who lies, is it reasonable to not trust them? If somebody told me they trust him, I'd say, you need to be in Phil Haven. You're an idiot. Your mind is squirrely as crazy. You're going to do something dangerous out in this world. You're going to do something dumb. You know, it's crazy, you know. It's like the people, I mean, think about it. You know, somebody, you know, all these people get swindled all the time on stuff. You know, some guy they don't know comes along and says, oh yeah, we're just going to make you millions of dollars. Whatever money you give to me, we're going to double it in 6 months. Yeah. And you fall for that? You don't even know the person? You haven't seen their performance and nothing and turn around and give them money? And just, it's like, my God. People do it all the time. Why? This is one thing. You're going to grow up and be able to operate in this life good if you learn the principles of God. If you learn the principles of God, you won't get caught in all this this stupidity. The Bible teaches that quick money is devilish. It's evil. You follow. You go over and read in Proverbs the things it talks about money and about getting money. Get rich quick schemes are of the devil. Because people who do that are run by the flesh and dominated in their flesh. And they have lust for money. You don't want to get rich quick schemes. Somebody always gets taken. Always gets taken on those things. So you don't go there. But see, so the word put out, in other words, if I'm going to believe God, I must be convinced. Just like with an individual would have to be convinced. People have to be convinced that it's God's will for them to be saved. All is at the time that they ask. See, if you didn't believe, now see, this is the whole thing. This is where many times people are. People say, well, you know, I'm supposed to, you know, ask God, you know, to save me. And people will, you know, God will save you. We tell, well, God will save you. Why? Because the Bible says he would. Well, we found out it's God's will for people to be healed. We don't find any time that Jesus ever turned anybody down. We looked at this. Jesus always healed people, always did that. Well, is salvation. So we convince people that it's God's will for them to be saved. All they have to, we tell them, all you got to do is ask. That's all you got to do is ask. He'll give it to you. He'll give it to you. We teach people that. We tell people that's so. How come is it that we don't do that with healing? We don't do that with healing. We don't tell people, all you got to do is ask. He'll heal you. He'll give it to you. He'll give you healing. Oh yeah, but I don't feel anything. I can tell you this truthfully. The night I got born again, I didn't feel a thing. I felt zero. I knew that I was convinced in my heart that if I asked God to save me, he would. I was convinced in that. And so being convinced in that, I did it. I didn't sit around. I didn't have any feeling whatsoever. I had no feelings at all that God would turn around and he would say, he would forgive me. I had no feeling on it whatsoever. So, but I believed God saved me because I did what the Bible said. I was doing what the Word said. I had been taught that if I would ask him to save me, that therefore he would do it. He was going to do that. So, but we need to be the same way. See, most people, when they talk to people about healing, most people who even are spirit-filled and have said under teaching, they never teach healing convincingly, or they'll never talk to a person about it convincingly. Well, you know, you can ask God. They talk to it. Why? Because they're not convinced themselves whether God's going to heal them or not. They're not convinced. You've got to become convinced of the fact, if I ask God for healing, he gives it to me. See, I got convinced that I'm totally free. I don't care if I ask God. If I ask God for healing and Ed didn't get healed, I know this. Ed messed up. Never God. God gave it to me. I ain't receiving it. I got a problem. I'm totally convinced of that. I would never believe it any other way. I ain't going to ever even try to attempt to believe it any other way. Most people believe it differently. They believe differently about those things. So therefore, dealing with God, people people don't do what the Word of God says. People turn around, instead of listening to what the Word says, they just follow what, you know, their feelings about it and how they think about it and what they do. You got to become convinced. There is never once in my entire life that if I asked God for healing, that He didn't give it to me. That's never happened one time. Sometimes it took me time to get lined up with it. It has taken me time to get lined up with it, but it's never been that He has not given it. That has to be a total impossibility. That's got to be a total, just like salvation. There's nobody has ever asked for salvation by faith, by believing in their heart, confessing with their mouth. Nobody's ever done that, not gotten saved. If somebody made a confession and didn't get saved, I know this. God gave them salvation, they never received it. Most of the time people can't receive it, it is because they have been not preached the truth about salvation in receiving it. They don't know about receiving. They say, ask Jesus into your heart. Well, what? That ain't faith in itself. That's not faith in itself, asking Jesus to come into your heart. We need to get over, get in line with the Word. What does the Word say? The person has to believe at the instant that they say that it was going to happen. They have to as many as receive Him, to them gave the power to become sons of God. As many as receive Him, as many as don't receive, many who receiving Him is what? It's an action of faith. It's not a thing of just words. It's an action of faith. You have to believe you receive it at the time that you said it. You've got to believe He gave you salvation. Well, you have to believe He gave you healing. So, we should always judge just as quickly with healing or anything else. We should always, if I ask God for something that's according to His will, I should always believe that He gives it to me at the time that I ask for it. That's what I'm supposed to. If anybody asks, well, did you get healed? Say, I believe I received it. That's what I believe. I don't care what it looks like on the outside. My confession should be, I believe I have received it. That's what I'm supposed to believe. I ain't supposed to do the healing. That's not my job. See, most people think it is. That's my job. I got, you know, well, I'm going to determine, is this working? Do I feel better? No. My job is specifically to believe I receive it. That's my job. That's your job. You believe at the time you ask God for it, He gave it to you. That's what you must believe. And so you have to get that principle down. If you don't get that principle down, that He gave it to you, that God is a giver, He gave it to you at the time. You have to believe that. There is no other way to get around to having to dealing with the areas of faith. God gave it to me. So this is one of the things when people talk about, well, the faith movement's, you know, gone and all that kind of stuff. I'm sorry. That's such idiocy. That's just ignorance gone to seed. Those same people, if they believe that, then I'll guarantee you this, they don't operate in faith. And that's where a lot of ministries got away from faith. They don't know how to operate in faith anymore. So they got over to operating in the flesh and doing all kinds of stuff by the flesh. You know, just doing it. We're nice people. Yeah. We none of this stuff works, but, you know. We really care. We care for the sick. Well, we don't care enough to teach them about healing, but we don't care enough. We don't know how to get it. We don't know how to do it. And so learning to operate in these things. Now, we want to look at God being a giver. I want to go over to the book of James. Go to James. James in the first chapter. James is a good book. I tell you, if you want to develop in the areas of faith, you got to learn the principles of James, from James. James was a very straight shooter, straight talker. You know, James is really different. This James here is the brother of Jesus that wrote this. This is not James the apostle. This is James, the brother of Jesus, that wrote James. James was the head of the church in Jerusalem. Peter was not the head of the church. I know the Catholics and stuff say Peter was the pope, you know, the head of the, no, he wasn't. At the head church in Jerusalem, James was the overseer of that church. James was. And you can find that through Paul's writings. Paul talked about when he went back down to Jerusalem, when they were making decisions on things, James was the final head on making decisions of stuff. They looked to James to find out whatever James says was going to be, that's the way it was going to be. James was a very straight shooter. You know, people talk about, well, you know, pastors, they're just supposed to be these little sweet guys, always talking nice to people. James said some very hard stuff to people. And we want to look at a hard thing that it seems hard that he said. But it isn't being hard. He's telling the truth how something works. And if you understand this principle and you get this thing, your faith will work. And you need, and we're going to find out, we're supposed to tell people, James wrote here, that we're supposed to tell people if they don't do this, we're supposed to tell them they're not supposed to believe they're going to get anything. That's what James said. We're supposed to tell people. Now, I've done that, and they get mad at me. But, you know, I don't care. I'm going to tell them the truth. Whether they can play their games and like whatever they want. But if they don't follow the principles of the Word of God, they're not going to get it. It ain't going to work. I'm sorry. Look, I know. I have done things that haven't been in line with the Word, and they didn't work. I know. I know this. You got to line up with God's Word. The more you're able to line up with the Word of God, the more you're able to come into a full compliance of things, the more your success you're going to see, and the more faster results you're going to see. This is why many people have such slow results and wait for years and years and years, because they're so slow to get in line with God's Word. They come to a point, but they don't go the whole way. We want to go the whole way. Now, James wrote in the first chapter, in verse 5, we're going to look at him talking about faith. He's talking about faith. Now, he's going to talk about a specific area of believing God for, but we need to understand this. This works for anything. This works for anything, not just for what we're going to deal with wisdom. James, in the first chapter, says, if any of you lacks wisdom, so if anybody lacks any of you, so this qualifies. Now, does this qualify for only a certain people? No, he said, if any of you, now understand this, he's talking to Christians. This qualifies for any Christian, no matter who you are, if you lack wisdom. It says, what is he supposed to do? Let him ask of God, who gives it sometimes and a little bit. What are we going to do? We ask of God. We're supposed to ask of God, and what? Who gives to what? All. All who? All who ask. Let me say this to you. You have never asked God for wisdom one time that he didn't give it to you. You may not have received it, but I'll guarantee you he gave it to you every time. Because if he didn't, James just lied. James just said, let the person ask God, and what will God do? God will give it to the individual liberally. And what? Listen to this. Without reproach, and it will be given to him. How's God going to give it? He's going to give it without reproach. You know what word reproach means there? God's not going to be begrudging in any way to you in his giving. He's not going to, in other words, the idea of this is not holding things against anybody. So in other words, if you did do something dumb, he is not going to not give it to you because you messed up. If he didn't give it to you, how are you ever going to get out of your mess? What does he say? He'll give it to you liberally, even if you messed up. He's not going to consider that fact. He says, but let him ask. How? In faith. What is faith? Read Mark 11:24. That's how you ask when you pray. How do you get it? But let him ask in faith. What does it say? With nothing doubting. Nothing doubting. The King James says waver and uses the term to waver. It says, for he who doubts, listen to this, for he who doubts is like the wave of a sea driven and tossed by the wind. Now, for let not that man suppose or think it all in his mind that he will receive anything from God. What did it say? In other words, if you don't follow in the principle of faith of Mark 11:24, you're not supposed to think you're going to get anything from God. This is what James wrote. Is this the Bible? Are we supposed to? Oh, well, you know, we don't have to listen to this part. I've had ministers say, you don't tell people that they're not going to get anything. You'll hurt their faith. You know, people are so tender. Don't tell them it ain't working. Don't say nothing. You know, wow, they might leave the church and take their checkbook. That's what the problem is. That's what they're thinking. I don't care what they say. That's what most of those guys think. We want to have people in the church. We don't care if any of them grow into anything as long as they bring a checkbook. That's what we want. We want the money. We don't want anybody. We want them there. We want the money. We don't care if they ever grow up. Just keep teaching them to put the money in the envelope and getting it in the offering plate. That's what we want. James must have not have been in that way because he wrote a letter to the church. Now, he was the head of the church in Jerusalem. This letter was probably sent out to churches many. He telling people, don't think you're going to get anything from God if you're not going to operate in the principle of faith. Don't. And we're supposed to let people know that. Sometimes if we look at things from a backward standpoint, if we go and start, just take verse 7 and look at it from this perspective of James and his speaking to these people. Because he said, for let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from God. So James told us to look at a person who is asking God, and if they are thinking a certain way, we are to tell them that they are not going to receive anything from God. That's what he's saying. He's telling us to look at an individual, to whatever they're doing, look at what they're doing in this area about getting something from God. We're supposed to look at it, and if they're not lined up with certain things, we're supposed to let them know they're not going to get anything. We're supposed to let them know that. And tell them they're not even supposed to think. They're not even, it says, let not that man suppose. He shouldn't even think he's going to get anything. We're supposed to tell people that. This is not being mean to people. This is telling people the truth. You know, if I didn't put any money in the bank, I should not suppose that I would get out there and find an account with money in it for me. Wouldn't that be dumb? We have let Christians believe, the church has allowed Christians to believe. And they'll say this, people say this all the time, their person's in problem. Well, you just need to pray. The whole reason that they're having their problems and can't get them fixed is because they don't know how to pray. They don't know how to believe God. You just told them, just go do it again and get nothing. Just go out here and just go do this stuff some more. Just go out. I want to tell you what, praying is of no value if you don't have any wisdom. You got to know how to do it. You know? I don't care if a person prays in tongues all day. Praying in tongues all day is a wonderful thing to help your spirit. But if you don't know how to ask God when believing for something, you have to ask. You have to ask it intelligently and be able to believe you receive. Praying in tongues ain't going to do that for you. So in other words, you need to gain knowledge of the Word of God on how things operate to get things. Too many people have no knowledge of how to get things, and we're running and tell them to pray. That is the dumbest things in the world. I hear all the times, I have one person who says, every time I ever get around them, saying, they're always telling how they told somebody they just need to pray. And I know it's better to say anything to them, because if you did, they just get mad and think they're so spiritual. And I just feel like telling them, why don't you just shut up? You don't even know the first thing about it. Telling them to pray. You're telling people to pray. You know, I'm telling sinners they just need to pray. Sinners have no authority in the name of Jesus Christ to go ask God for a thing. They can ask for salvation, but they're not under the covenant. They can't sit around and ask for the blessing. The blessings, we need to understand, these letters were written to Christians. They weren't written to the world. They're written to Christians of how to operate in a covenant. You got to get in the covenant to get the blessing. They just don't fall out of trees, you know. And we have this ideas, but we're supposed to tell this person. We must know what James, so we got to understand what James is talking about. So, what disqualifies a person from being able to believe they receive when they pray? We got to look at that. What disqualifies the person? Well, he says it's this. Look what James wrote in verse 6. What's disqualifying this person that we're supposed to tell them that they aren't going to receive anything? It says, but let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. So it is a person who's doubting. So if we see a person who's doubting, they're doubting, we are to inform that individual that they should not think that they will receive anything from the Lord. Isn't that what James said? That's what James said to do. If a person is in an area of doubting, now what is this doubting? I've heard many ministers use this thing of talking because King James uses the word to waver, and it's the idea that people are taught, you know, this wavering or the from the standpoint of doubting, is to go back and forth between an opinion, like a person's believing then not believing, jumping back and forth. That's not what this is talking about. In fact, you'll find if you look up this word in its usage in the King James, it's most of the time is dealing with doubting, dealing with doubt. It's talking about doubt. This actual word means to separate thoroughly, to oppose, to differ, to hesitate, to separate oneself in a hostile spirit, to strive with this, in dispute, or to contend with. It's in the area of doubt. Now, we want to look at this because this word doubt was used, if we would back up to Mark 11, 23. Mark 11, 23 will show you something here that'll be very useful to you, because Mark 11, 24 is based upon the principle of Mark 11, 23. Now, listen what it says. Jesus said, "For assuredly I say to you." Now listen to this. This word, "assuredly I say to you," would be exactly as if we said today, when a person would swear to tell the truth, "I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God." That word is "surely." That word in the Greek is the same thing as "you're swearing to truth." Jesus said, I'm saying this to you, this is a sure thing. "I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' and does not," what? "Doubt," this is this word doubt, "in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says." There cannot be any doubt. A person cannot have doubt that it's working. All doubt in a person's heart must be removed. You have to come to a place that you believe you received it when you ask, and no doubt about it. Many people, where their problem is, they have doubt. They are saying right things. They have made a correct prayer, but they have not, in their heart, believed they have received it. They're wondering whether it's working or not. "Well, I don't know. I prayed and I didn't get anything. Well, you didn't pray believing you received. If nothing showed up, at the time, I would never say I didn't. I believe I received it. I received it. Praise God. The word's true. God can't lie. He gave it to me. He gave me the wisdom. I must have it. I believe I received it, so I have the wisdom that I need. If I go say, "Well, I don't seem to be getting it," then you have doubts. Therefore, you should not expect that you would get anything from God. That's what James wrote. You should not expect that you're going to receive anything from God. So, really, we're dealing over in the areas of contending and really differing, and differing with what? We're differing with what Mark, with what our verse 5 says in James, the first chapter, if we go back there. In other words, this wavering, this doubting that's going on. See, if you have doubt, you can't pray Mark 11, 24. If you have doubt in your heart, you cannot pray. You can say it, but it's not a prayer. It will not work. You need to understand that. Because you have to believe you receive it when you pray. And if you doubt that God gave it to you, if you doubt that, then it ain't going to work. It's not going to work. You can't doubt. You have to remove all doubts. So, that contending, we deal with verse 5. Well, what are we contending with? "If any of you lack wisdom, if you let him ask God, who gives it to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him." So a person must believe that God will give liberally. He must believe that upon asking, God gives liberally. That word "liberal" there means to it abounds. It means it's in abundance. God will give wisdom in abundance. You know, see, some people, this is where people miss it too. People come along, "Well, see, you know, the preacher, God gives him," because, you know, he's a minister. "He gives him wisdom in this stuff in the Bible, but he don't give it to us like he does to him. Because he's a minister, you know." Well, you got that kind of belief, you're going to be sitting in problems in areas. You're going to have trouble believing in areas. He said, God gives liberally. We found, who does he give it? To everybody who asks. Everybody. It says God gives it liberally. To everyone who asks. So the person must believe that God will give without reproach. And reproach, we talked about it. That means without finding fault, blame, scolding, or disapproval. That's what it means. So God's not going to sit there saying, well, you've just been messing up, you idiot. You ought to be glad if I just show you anything. See, a person, most people, they come with their guilt and everything else. They got their stuff. They got all their doubt. Well, you know, I've messed up so much. I don't know if God will do anything. I just don't. And they'll turn around. Well, I ask and he didn't give me nothing. We're supposed to say to that individual, you should have never expected to get anything. You are out of line with God's word because you believe God's bad. You don't believe he's good. You don't believe he's a giver. You believe he's going to hold things against you. We need to tell people this stuff because people are sitting in this stuff all the time talking about being in faith, and they're not in no more faith than there's a man on the moon. And there ain't nobody walking around up there lately, you know, nobody's landed. Maybe one day somebody will land again. I don't know. But people are just, they're on the craziest thoughts of things and that stuff about being in faith. But yet if you examine the Bible, you find out they're not. And people are not examining the Bible. So if we want this to work, we got to come in line with the truth. The person must believe it will be given to them at the time that they ask for it. It will be. So you need to meditate on those things. Sit down and meditate on these things. Be convinced in yourself at the time that you ask God something. That's why quit being so quick to pray. See, somebody gets sick, loads of people do this all the time. They start feeling bad, and boy, they just started praying, I want to get out of this thing. Don't be so quick. Make sure that when your prayer is prayed, when you say that prayer, you're actually in line with the Word of God. That you're believing your spirit. Too many people have not done it. If Kenneth Hagin said he was not quick to pray about things, I said Ed Gibson should not be quick. He knew more about faith than I did. And I used to say, well, then Ed should not be so quick to just jump and pray. I need to make sure that I'm in line with the Word of God. Why? I would rather get quick results once I pray than just pray. Most people are almost all there. I'll lay hands on me and pray for them. Oh, just get, hurry up, hurry up. Let's get this thing going. Well, you ask them what they believe and you find out you're laying hands on empty heads. They have no more idea of what they're doing. And we're not doing it to criticize, but you got to let people know that that's the way they is, that way it is, you know. It's like going to a store and you ain't got no money, you ain't got a credit card, you ain't got nothing. You walk in and you say, look, I left my cards and everything at home and they don't know you. I tell you what, give me the item, I'll be back. Yeah. Sure. You know, so we got to follow in line with the principles of God's word for it to work. So people really are wavering or doubting when they believe God is withholding what they're asking for. Have you ever heard people say that? Well, you know, God will give it to me in his time. Have you ever heard him say that? Any person that believes that, I've said to many people this. I said, well, you ain't going to ever see it. Next year I'll see you, you'll be saying the same thing. And a year after that, and a year after that, and a year after that, you'll be saying the same thing. It'll never come. What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to believe we receive it. He didn't say you're supposed to believe God will give it in his time, did he? See, that's unscriptural. You can't believe God's going to give it in his time. In other words, I believe God didn't give it, but I'll get it. James said, don't let that idiot even suppose he's going to get anything. I've heard that said so many times. People say, well, God in his time, he knows. God knows when to give it to me. Yes, he does, but you don't know when you're supposed to get it. That's the problem. It ain't God's problem. See, everybody's dealing with the God side. Most people are not dealing with, have a problem with the God side. That's where they're always working at. The problem's us. It's not God. God's already declared what He wants to do. He wants to give you what you ask for right at the time you ask for it. That's His plan. That's His plan. That's how He does it. In any other way, He doesn't do it. So people must know that when they ask God for something, that He is a liberal giver. He's a liberal giver. God is a... See, always look at God that way. I remember, you know, with reading the things... you know, when I came along and got born again, you know, Oral Roberts was, you know, well known for, you know, his dealings in the areas and talking about God and the blessing and seed faith and things. But when he started off in ministry and he started off in his revelation, it's like with Kenneth Hagin. Kenneth Hagin started teaching teaching faith, and they almost dealt with him like he's a heretic. And then Oral Roberts came along and he preached, just told people and made confession that God's a good God. And he would say that all the time when he would open his services. God's a good God. People got all upset. Loads of church leaders were upset. Because why? They didn't know the Bible. And their religion, well, you tell people God's good, they won't ever change. Well, what changed my life is God being good. God being bad. People who live like hell as Christians don't know God's good. They ain't got a clue. They haven't got a clue of the goodness of God. Or they would never. If somebody was good to you, would you treat them bad? They don't believe God's good. They just go live like hell, follow their flesh, and don't care at all about God. A person who actually believes God and knows God's good, they'll start living good toward God. That'll change your life. They have no revelation on the goodness of God. You know, we don't have to, you know, make people scared of God because, you know, and you think they're going to live a better life. That sure didn't work. All I heard was God was the judge. Growing up as a Christian, and it caused me to leave the church. I didn't want to be around it. He was always the judge. I thought, well, he's always mean anyhow, and he's always grumpy. Anybody does anything, he's out to get him, and every time somebody does bad, he's going to remember that about you. It's like, dear God. I used to think heaven was just filled with one big, you know, filing cabinet with mine. He didn't have what I did wrong because he didn't have room for anybody else's. I did so much. I held of all the file cabinets of heaven. So, just thinking, if he's writing down everybody's stuff, heaven is going to, the city of God would be filled nothing but file cabinets of all the bad stuff we did, and there wouldn't be room for nobody to be living in it. So, you know, you got to break away from the thinking. So God's good. The person must think that God is a liberal giver. And that the fact that God's not upset because they ask. He's not upset because we ask. It doesn't upset God when you ask. You know? He's not. And He will give it to them when they ask. He's not upset. They've messed up, but He's not upset. God wants it. Look, if you and I can't ask God and get things from Him, is our life going to change? See, my Christian walk was always this. When I first started off, I listened to some people preaching along the line, and that's why God really sort of kept me over in Kenneth Hagin's teaching, to get away from listening to other people, because so many people had a mixed message. One of their message was, you had to grow to this great spirituality, and then you get there, God will, then He'll work through you in blessings, and He'll give you stuff and things. I found out that if He don't give you things and don't bless you, you ain't going to ever grow up spiritually. It requires the giftings of God working in you to help you grow up. Why would I even need God if I can grow up without Him? See, it's absurd. They have an absurdity. Oh, yeah, God wants to give you all this stuff, but you have to become this perfect thing to get there. I tell you, if God ain't working in you and ain't helping you, you ain't ever going to get no perfection about nothing. It ain't going to happen. So there's a real ludicrous, and I understand why people get so confused, and they can't operate in faith, because your natural mind will ever always try to keep you over in the area of you're not good enough to have what God wants to give you. See, here's the way I think about it. I know I ain't good enough to get it, but I know He'll give it to me. I don't receive it based upon my goodness. I receive it upon righteousness by faith. A righteousness was given to me. I can get anything God has on the righteousness of faith. I don't receive from God. See, most of Christianity preaches righteousness by works. You get real good and God will give you something. I'm a total believer of this. If you want to get squared away, you need to get something from God. God will bless you. I was like what Kenneth Hagin used to say, God will heal you on credit if you just tell him you'll do right. He used an example of a guy who God was dealing with him in the area. This guy's living with a guilty conscience. And he had terrible ulcers. Doctors told me for years this man couldn't do anything but eat some baby food and drink some liquids and stuff and things. And one of the things it was, God had dealt with him about in the areas of tithing. And he never would tithe. And he was made good money and stuff and things. But he never would tithe. Now, it wasn't God wouldn't heal him, but his conscience, his own conscience, wouldn't allow him to receive from God. He couldn't get blessed. And he ended up sick off the bit of not giving money. Because why? His faith wouldn't work. His conscience bothered him toward God. Well, he was at a meeting and he came up to get prayed for, and Brother Hagin went to lay hands on him. Now, here's the goodness of God, because most people see God. See, God made him sick. God did that to him because he wouldn't obey. Wasn't it at all? So Brother Hagin laid hands on him and said to the man, Brother Hagin said, I had a vision, and I saw him. He said, I saw him tossing and turning in his bed and, you know, couldn't sleep because of this burning in his stomach and stuff. And so Brother Hagin told him that, you know, what had happened, and he told him, and he said, God's been dealing with you, trying to get you to tithe, and you won't tithe. And, you know, the devil's done. You've opened the door to the devil in your life. The devil's doing this stuff to you. And the guy said, yeah, you're exactly right. You're right. And Kenneth Hagin said this to him, and I always took it as a revelation, because I've heard Kenneth Hagin use that saying a number of times. He said, I told the man, I said, God will heal you in credit. He said, if you just tell God today that you're going to get right and do right and go ahead and tithe, he said, he'll heal you right now. So see, the guy hadn't done right. See, because most people think, well, I got to get over here doing right, then God will give it to me. No, God gives liberally without reproach. God was willing to look at that man and say, yep, okay, I'll heal you. Come on, get in. Was God being liberal to him? Yeah. He said, you asked for that healing. You set yourself in the right direction. You asked for healing, nothing doubting. See, before he couldn't ask without doubting, he didn't believe he was going to get anything good from God, because he's disobeying God and he knows it. So he don't believe he's going to get anything good. But what does God do? God says, come on. Brother Hagin said, I laid hands on him. Said the guy ended up healed. Said he went home and he told his wife to make him a steak, and he sat down and ate a steak dinner and felt absolutely fine. The first time he's something like ate in like 5 years or something, he ate a... had eaten a meal like that. First time in 5 years. And what was it? It was on credit. He hadn't tithed at all up to that time. So did God, was he liberal without reproach? But see, God, he had to hear the right words spoken. Well, God operated through Kenneth Hagin to tell this man that he would give it to him without reproach. So God couldn't have been the one trying to keep him sick, could it? Because God told, through Kenneth Hagin, told the man how to get out of it. How he could do it. Because God is a liberal God. So always get that in your mind. God is a liberal God. He gives totally without reproach, nothing doubting. So people who want to receive healing must know that God's a liberal giver, that he will always give all the time. You know, we look at in areas of talking, you know, with a liberal giver. Being a liberal giver, you know, is dealing with the standpoint of, if you had just from a natural standpoint, you'd say to somebody, you know, they'd say, you know, they need a loan to do something, or they're going to do something, or like somebody goes to buy a house. They said, you know, we went down through this one, you know, loan company. Boy, they really worked great with us, really did good. And they make a recommendation to that person. You know, that person gains their confidence, don't they, to go to those individuals. They'll go there expecting to have some, get better favor than maybe they would have gotten someplace else. Why? Because they've heard something, haven't they? They've heard about that bank. And so their confidence level is going to be a lot higher going there than if they were going and didn't hear that. They hadn't heard that, would it? Well, see, it's the same way with God. It's exactly the same way with Him. We have to tell people. People must be told about God being a liberal giver. They need to understand that if they're going to go to God, that He's going to be liberal about doing it. Most people aren't told that. They're not told about God. Well, yeah, you know, sometimes He does. Well, let's just pray and see what God's going to do. I've heard ministers do that. Lay their hands up. Well, let's pray and see what God's going to do. You're supposed to know what He's going to do before you pray, you idiot. Why do you bother praying if you don't know what He's going to do? Why do you, well, what'd they do? They put the person in doubt. Well, did they bring to the person the place to believe that God was going to be liberal? No. They didn't know if he was going to be liberal or what. You know, they went, you know, Jesus said, you know, if your son, you know, comes and asks for bread, you don't give him a rock. Well, he said, how much more would your Father in heaven give good to you? Oh, we're expecting something bad. You know, I asked God for money, and actually what he did, he took money from me. You see, people get into, there's a lot of weird stuff going on out here. You got to change. This is why stuff don't work for people. This is why a lot of Christians never grow up, because they're always in doubt and unbelief about God, and they live under the plague of really, of, you know, thinking that God's upset at them, God's mad about everything, and you know, they really don't have any confidence in God doing anything. All they know is all that they've ever done wrong or where they've messed up. And, well, you know, I've done this and that. That's all they know. And they know, well, God's mad, you know. If I get this stuff right, then he'll help me out of this stuff. And that's, people are living in that kind of thinking all the time. And they are, because they're hearing it. Every bad thing that happens, God's in control. He did it. You know. 3/4 of the preachers on television thinks God's in control of everything. And they're saying these things, and it's nuttiness, insaneness. And so we got to break away from that. Get away. So having the confidence, if you can put it in, get a person within the area of confidence that they know that they would ask God that he would give it to them liberally, how would that really help a lot of people? I mean, there's a lot of people that would just do wonders for them to know that God will do it for you. He's going to. He wants you to expect it that way. He wants you to think that way. That's how God wants you to think. God don't want you to think that he's against you. Just like that man. In disobedience to God in the area of tithing, God wanted him to tithe, and he wouldn't do it. And what did God do? God smote him and gave him, you know, a boil on his head. No, God told the guy how to get healed. He moved supernaturally to show the guy how to get healed. That's God. Why? He's a liberal giver. He's a liberal giver. He's good. I know Kenneth Hagin tells a story of a guy was healed with a broken back, instantly healed, and the Lord spoke to him and told him concerning this guy. He said, I healed this guy one time while he was committing adultery and stuff, and he had doing things, and he broke his back, and I healed him. He asked the guy about it. The guy said, yeah. The guy told him he was instantly healed of a broken back, lay in the hospital in a body cast, was instantly healed. In a body cast, swung himself out of the bed in a body cast, fell over on the floor. They said he turned completely black, like he was, you know, his skin color, you know, turned completely dark, like he dead. Blood stopped flowing the body, and he said, in a few moments, all of a sudden, the power of God came into him, and he came back to life, started breaking the cast only off of him, and stood up completely healed. Why? God's good. You know, if God was what they said, he'd never done that for that guy. That doesn't mean we go get away with sin. That's not the idea. God reveals things to people. He wants them to come align with truth. We didn't read from James, but James, the first chapter in verse 8, said about this person. This person, he said, is a double-minded man. What? He's unstable in all his ways. See, we need to understand this. A person who's over in the area, who has had trouble in the areas of believing God, they're unstable in all their ways. They're unstable. See, the only thing that's going to come you to a stability in life, see, a lot of people live totally unstable lives, and the reason they are, they live in unbelief. They live in unbelief. They're believing the wrong things. There's nobody who believes the right stuff and is unstable in all their ways. There's no such thing. People who are unstable is because they believe the wrong things. Believe in the wrong stuff. You get people in depression, they always believe in the wrong stuff. I have never, ever met any person who's depressed who believes the right stuff. Never met it one in my life. They never believe the right things. They're unstable, aren't they? They're unstable. You'll be unstable. You cannot keep a sound mind and not believe the Word of God. you're going to become unstable. That's why people look at all the madness going on in our society, all the craziness. Sure, people have moved away from God. There's no faith in God. What's there going to be? Instability. That's why people, they say, well, my people are doing the craziest stuff. Why? They're going to be unstable in all their ways. People are moved away from God, don't believe God anymore. People don't trust God anymore. James told us the outcome. Unstable in all their ways. That's the way they're going to be. We need to let people know. That's why we need to tell people they can trust God, to ask God, and He'll help them. We need to stop this crazy Christianity. Well, you don't know. Sometimes He does, sometimes He don't. That leads to all this instability. What do people do? If they can't trust God that is going to give them something to help them, they're going to go try somebody. They're going to go to some exorcist, or they're going to go out here to somebody looking in a crystal ball. Why not? They might as well, with what most of Christianity believes, your chances are just as good in the crystal ball as you are in the church. See, and this is why people leave. When you teach and preach the truth, people will get a stability in their life. They'll have confidence toward God. They'll have a stable mind. They won't be unstable in all their ways. So we want to follow. You always want to tell people the truth about the Word of God. Always let them know that God is a liberal giver, that He will always give to them, always, when they ask, at the time that they ask. Now, we're going to use some other scriptures beside this. We're going to go on in teaching so we get convinced this isn't a one area scripture and that's done. We're going to go on and look at more at God, who's the liberal giver. You need to be convinced yourselves, but we need to tell other people. They need to become convinced that God's a liberal giver. It'll help you immensely. God told me this when I was a young Christian. He told me the more confidence that I have in the Word of God, He said, the more confidence that I had, the more strongly that I believed that the Word was true. He told me when I minister to people, He said, it's going to help them. Because He said, your confidence, He said, will get on them. That's why. Sometimes I listen to ministers and they preach, you know, people preaching a message. And I think, yeah, they're preaching right. What they're saying is true. But they preach it so weakly with no confidence that it's true. They preach it with no confidence. And so, people can't grab a hold of it. You pick that up. You can tell it when a person ain't confident about what they're talking about. You can tell it with people. You'll pick that spirit up. The people talk around and say things, but there's not, you know, you get people, I see people over here very confident about the wrong stuff. They're very strong to it, about the wrong things. You know, see, and you get a spirit. The Bible talks about the spirit of faith, us having the spirit of faith. You build the spirit of faith. You turn around and take guys like Adolf Hitler. How did he draw so many people off after him? It was because of what he believed strongly, and he had a spirit on him. He had a spirit on him that led people into that direction, folks. He had a confidence, and his confidence in that stuff that he believed led people off to follow after wrong things. We have a great weakness in the church today because many ministers are very weak in their belief in the Word of God, and they preach weakly. They are very weak, and they're no more assured of God helping and doing stuff. And what they do, a lot of they do in the natural. So it doesn't make people strong, and people don't become strong in faith. And, you know, and most people get drawn to them because, I go over there because he tells me I'm all right like I am. I'm just one of those people that, you know, is sort of weak, and I'm just one of those people. And so they never change. They never change. And Jesus said this, you'll never go further than your teacher. So it ain't going to work. Hallelujah. So a double-minded man. So we recognize that this person lacks wisdom, and he sees that God has the wisdom he needs, he asks God for wisdom, but doesn't believe God that he'll give it to him when he asks. So they don't believe God's a liberal giver, and we have to get people to believe that he is a liberal giver. Healing works identically the same way. It's identical. It's the same way. The principles the same way, and how we ask. Hallelujah. So we'll close there. Father, we just want to thank you this morning for your word. And Father, your word, and we thank this morning, is correct and it's right. And I thank you, Father, your word is correcting us. It's correcting our how we think. Father, the word that's working in us right now is renewing the mind. I thank you, Father, the revelation that we got on the inner man is dawning in our minds, renewing and refreshing our minds to think in line with God's word. And Father, I just want to thank you that the word is true. Lord God, that what we ask you for, hallelujah, that your word tells us, Father God, we know without a shadow of a doubt, you will give it to us at the point in time that we ask and believe that we receive it. Hallelujah, we will have it. Hallelujah, it belongs to us. We thank you for revealing these things to us and showing them to us. Father, we declare and know that it's your desire for your blessings to be in our lives and operating in us and through us. And we thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.